Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Morning. Glad everyone is here today. If you're a guest, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm the pastor here at Wellspring, and we are in the middle of a two-week series that we started last week. And so if you're here last week and you came back, congratulations. I'm proud of you. If you're a guest today and you weren't here last week and you wonder why, we started a two-week series last week on everyone's favorite topic to talk about in church, money. I hear the groans, yes. Yes. So if you missed last week, let me go ahead and just quickly kind of bring you up to speed, and then we'll go where we're going to go today. Because if you were here last week, I understand why you came back, because we made it very clear what this series is and is not about. Because when I say money in church, everybody's kind of heart rate starts to race, and so I understand that. So let me make very clear at the top, if you weren't here last week, this series is about us learning to manage well the resources that we believe God has given us. This series is not in any way about giving. And again, if you want to hear a very long explanation about that, and you weren't here last week, if you have our app, and if you don't, you should download our app, and you can go back and you can watch last week and you can catch up. But the very quick version of what we're talking about and why we're doing this series is I don't believe most people need to be told why they should be generous. I know I don't need to be told why I should be generous. I think most people inherently understand why generosity is great. Because if you've ever been generous, it felt awesome. And so generosity isn't really something we need to be taught. It's more caught than taught. And if you've ever tried it, you know that it's a good thing. You know it's fun. You know it makes you feel good. If you consider yourself a Christian and you know you believe that God asked you to return some money back to him, you've probably experienced that and you probably know that's a good thing. You probably want to do that as well. And so there's absolutely no point for me to get up here and to talk about why we should do those things, why we should give, why we should be obedient. I fully understand and believe that you understand why we should do all those things. The reason we're doing this series is because while I think I know and you know and we all know why, I think sometimes we struggle with the how. How, in a world full of bills and expenses and obligations and unexpected things with limited income, how are we supposed to be generous? How, if we believe what God says about money, how are we supposed to give back to him? How are we supposed to do that? See, that's why we began the series last week. Not about why, it's about how. And last week we shared the answer to how we do this, what we're going to talk about last week and this week. It's the title of our series. The how is you need a budget, and I need a budget, and we all need a budget, because a budget is a system. A budget is a plan. A budget is a process that allows us to be in control of our finances. In fact, last week, if you were here, you know all I talked about for the entire time was convincing you why you needed a budget and why I needed a budget and why a budget was a great thing. And here's what we said last week. We need a budget because a budget allows us to control our money, and it keeps our money from controlling us. And we said this last week. Doesn't that sound better than what I do and what you do? I think it does. And so that's why we think a budget is important. Last week we talked about a couple of benefits of budgeting. Here they are. Benefit of a budget. Benefit number one is that it clarifies our spending. It eliminates those really awkward conversations we have to have at the end of the month about why did you spend this and why did you spend that. You know, those conversations that are always fun and never filled with tension. They never end in conflict, ever. They're always just super easy to have. Remember those? Well, a budget actually eliminates those because it clarifies our spending. We know where it went, and we've agreed in advance on where it's going to go, which allows us to, number two, benefit. It helps us prioritize our spending. It helps us to decide, what do we need to do today? What do we need to do tomorrow? It's the 25th. We've got to make it to the end of the month. How do we do that? We've got a budget, and we can prioritize. The third benefit we've already talked about, it allows us to control our spending. It allows us to control our money. It puts us back in charge. We said this last week. Who is currently in control of your finances? Here's the test. Does your money do what you tell it to do, or do you have to get your money's permission to spend it? Do you come up with an idea and say, yep, we're going to do that, I've planned for that, money's there, or do you come up with a great idea and say, well, let's ask the bank account. Let's see what they have to say about this decision. See, the power of a budget, the beauty of a budget, while we're talking about it in church, is that it reverses that process. It reverses it, and it puts you back in charge. It puts you back in control, which we believe is exactly where God wants you to be. I know for some of you, we asked this last week as well, why are we talking about this in church at all? We didn't come for a financial seminar. I don't understand why this is a big deal. And the answer of why we talk about money at church and why we're talking specifically about learning to manage our money well at church is because I have read all four biographies of Jesus's life, cover to cover, multiple times. I have studied everything he's ever taught. And one thing is abundantly clear when you listen to Jesus and you hear him teach, he cares about money. He talks about money constantly, and he specifically talks to his followers. And here's what he makes clear. He expects his followers to manage their money well. He just expects it. It's just a given to him. It's a given that you aren't going to be controlled by money, but that you're going to control money if you follow Jesus. And it's a given that you are going to have money to be able to do with it what you want, that it's not going to be a controlling factor in your life, that you are going to be the one in control of the resources he's given you. This plays out through the entire early church. We see it in the book of Acts, which is the history of the early church. We see it in the letters that are written by the men who sort of took Jesus' message to the known world at the time. One of these guys is a guy named Paul. We talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring because he wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. And the reason he wrote about half of the New Testament is because he started most of the churches that we know about in the first century of the spread of Christianity. He would travel to a new town. He would start a church. Once the church was healthy, he would leave. He would go to another town and start a church. They still had questions for what it meant to be a Christian. So Paul would actually write them letters to give them instructions on how to be Christians, what it meant to follow God. What we believe as Christians is that God himself was speaking through Paul when Paul wrote those letters. So we can read them almost 2,000 years later, and it's like we're hearing directly from God. Well, in two of these letters he wrote, they actually weren't to a church. They were to a man named Timothy. Timothy was Paul's protege. Paul was his mentor. And Timothy was a new pastor. He was a fresh pastor. And so he writes Timothy two letters that we call the pastoral letters. And they're literally giving Timothy instructions on how to be a pastor, how to be a leader, how to lead a church. I read these letters all the time because I need all the help I could get. And so I read these so that I can hear from Paul, okay, how do we lead a church? And in 1 Timothy, Paul is talking to Timothy over and over and over about how it is his job to prepare his people. It is his job to equip his people to be able to follow God. At the end of 1 Timothy, he talks about money. And here's what he says. Hey, Timothy, whatever you do, make sure they don't let money control them. Make sure that doesn't happen because that could be dangerous. Timothy, it's your job to make sure that they are in control of the resources God has given them. And specifically, here's what he says at the end of 1 Timothy. He says, tell them to use their money to do good. Now, he says, tell them, but in the verse before, he was talking about teaching. And so, for me, he's saying, teach them, and the them is you, the them is us, the them is people watching online, the them is anyone interested in the things of God. And what Paul is telling Timothy, and through Timothy telling me, is that it is my job, it is the church's job, it is your pastor's job to help teach you, to help prepare you, to help equip you to use your money to do good. To use your money to do with it what you feel called by God to do. And that requires you to be in control. That requires you to have a plan, not your money. And so the reason we're talking about this and the reason we think it's so important is because this is what Timothy learned from Paul. This is what Timothy implemented in his church, and I believe it is what God wants us all to implement in all of our churches. That we that want to follow God, that we that are exploring the things of God, that we that are interested in the things of God can understand when it comes to our finances, when it comes to our money, that God wants better. He wants us to be in control of it. Specifically, he wants us to be able to use it to do the good things that he has planned. So that's what we talked about last week. Why do we need a budget? The answer is because a budget allows us to control our money and keeps our money from controlling us. That's the why. This week, I want to talk about how. How do we do this? How do we actually create a budget that we will use? How do we create a budget that we will maintain? Because I'm sure I'm not the only person in the room that has started a budget before. And about two weeks in, you're like, well, that was too hard. And so then you just stop. But what we want to talk about today, I actually want to share a resource with you. It's a tool. It's a tool I use in my personal life. It's a tool many people on our staff use, and I shared it with you a little bit last week. I think it is by far the most helpful, the most user-friendly, the best product out there for creating and maintaining a budget in your personal life, with your family. If you have a small business, it even works for that. It is fantastic, and it is called YNAB. You know what the YNAB stands for? You need a budget. It's just right there in the title. They're very creative. YNAB is a company. We're not affiliated with this company. I've just been using them for years. They're an online budgeting software platform. They have an app that you can download. It's fantastic. It's cloud-based. And so you can go on there. You can create a budget. It syncs with your bank accounts. It syncs with your credit cards. It tracks all your spending. If more than one person in your family has spending authority, there are apps for your smartphone where you can stay in sync in real time. You can track your spending. You can do all these things. And here we've reached out to YNAB, and here's what they've agreed to do for us. They've given everyone at Wellspring who wants to try it a 60-day free trial. For 60 days, it's absolutely free. And what we want to do as your church is we want to partner with you over that 60 days. And so we've created some content you can sign up for. And for the next 8 weeks, we are going to send out weekly kind of coaching content to encourage you, a place for you to ask questions, a place for you to kind of get your feet wet. Because our hope is that over the next 2 months, December and January, great budgeting months, by the way, that over the next 2 months, that you will be able to use this resource, make the most of it, and retake control over your finances. Now, I said this last week, so I want to make it 100% clear again. We have no connection with YNAB. We don't get any kickbacks from YNAB. We don't get any money from YNAB in any way, shape, or form. This is truly just a resource I use in my personal life. It's very beneficial to me. I think it's the best platform out there, and we really want to just give you a gift and a tool because we believe with all our hearts that this is what God wants for your finances. He wants you to be in control of them so that you can do with it what you believe he wants you to do. So what I want to do today is I just simply kind of want to explain to you YNAB's approach. I want to explain to you why I think it's so valuable. But before I do that, I have to make a bit of a confession. I'm a bit of a control freak. They've laughed every hour, like that's not surprising. I'm pretty OCD when it comes to money and finances and stuff. I was the kid in high school. When I got a job, I started budgeting my money. In high school and in college, I used a piece of software. Some of you may have used it. It's called Quicken. Like, you know, a fun Friday night in college, I was in my dorm room downloading transactions and reconciling my bank account. Like, it was wild. But I have always had this just innate desire. I'm a numbers guy. I'm a systems guy. I have just always naturally tracked my spending. I've always naturally used a budget. And so this is easy for me. Like I just have to say that up at the front. This comes very naturally to me. I was doing this. Quicken wasn't even a budgeting software, but I sort of just hacked it to make it work. After college, Annie and I got married, and I actually discovered a new platform I used for a while. It was called Mint.com, and it's an online resource, and I used it for a couple of years, and it was fine. It was okay. And then 4 years ago was when someone turned me on to YNAB, and I tried it, and I've never looked back. To me, again, as I said, it is the best. It is the clearest. It is the most user-friendly. It is the most helpful budgeting approach I've ever seen in my life, and that's why I'm recommending it so strongly, because it's not just for people like me. It's not just for people who understand money and who understand how to budget and who understand numbers and are going to track every penny. You know, I could pretty much make any platform work. The thing I love about YNAB is that I've recommended it to people that aren't like me, that are a little less crazy than I am, and they like it as well. They find it user-friendly. They find the approach very helpful. And the reason is because YNAB basically bases their entire approach on what they call the four rules. And the thing I love about these rules is that they are so clear, they are so simple, they're easy to communicate. As a communicator, they're very memorable. I love to get to share them with you today. And what I like about them is, because if you have been budgeting your whole life, if you have a finance degree, if you understand it, or if you just look at your bank account, write a check, and pray, like wherever you are in between, You know, these four rules are so simple and so clear that I really think they kind of reset the table when it comes to budgeting, when it comes to your finances, and they really reset your way you think about it, and it's very helpful. And so what I would love to do is I would just love to sort of break down YNAB's approach and why we think it's the best and why I think you should invest 2 months of your time just taking a free trial to see if you like it, because their approach is the best and the easiest I've ever seen at giving us handles to retake control over our finances. And so what I love to do is I just kind of walk with you through them. I'll get it in a minute. I want to walk with you through these four rules. So let's get started. Number one, the first rule is give every dollar a job. Now, I know that may sound a little silly, but again, if the hope is to retake control of our money, what is the easiest way to do that? Well, to tell our money what to do, to give it a job. I can tell my kids what to do. They cannot tell me what to do. They can request kindly, and I might listen, but they cannot tell me what to do. This subtle shift in thinking, I promise you, it really has the power to just change the way you view your money. Because essentially what this rule means is, look at the money you have in your bank account and tell it what you want it to do. Create a list of priorities of how you want to spend it. Take that money, tell it what to do. You put your money to work. You give it a job. Now, here's one of the cool things about YNAB's approach. They only deal with money you have. That's why I said money in your bank account. We do not talk about future money when we budget with YNAB. It's nice you're going to get paid in a week or 2 weeks, and when you get paid with that money, then you can give that money a job. But what they would say is budgeting is dealing with current money. If you're going to talk about future money, that's forecasting. That's hoping. And so what they say to do is take the money you currently have and put it to work. Create a to-do list and tell it what to do. Now, to be able to create this to-do list, you have to come up with some priorities, right? We have to come up with what are our spending habits? What do we need to do? And what YNAB says is the very first thing you should do is begin with something they call immediate obligations. What are the things required for me to survive? Food, shelter, utilities. The first thing you do is you look down and you say, all right, this is how much money I have in my bank account. This is when I get paid again. What do I need to do to survive between now and then? You put them all on a list. You put them all in the software. It's actually broken down for you. And you literally give your dollars jobs. You say, I want you to do this, and I want you to do this, and I want you to do this, and I want you to do this. And you assign your current money to a task. That's how you create, that's how you begin to create a budget. And so what you'll do in this process is you'll start going through all the things that you consider immediate obligations, all the things that you consider necessities, all the things that are necessities. One of the things I would encourage you to do as you go through this process is challenge every assumption. Because let's be honest, there are some things we call immediate obligations. They are not immediate, nor are they obligations. They're habits. There are things we've decided we like doing. There are things that are convenient. And again, they may be absolutely fine for you to do, but you choose it. You decide what you want to do with your money rather than letting your habits decide what you want to do with your money, or rather than letting convenience decide what you want to do with your money. Now, if you are the sole person in charge of your finances at home or at work, do this alone. If you share responsibility at work with a partner or home with a spouse, do this as a team. Do this with your spouse. Listen to me. The only budget that works in a family is the budget that is agreed to as a family. Period. I've had several people kind of ask me some questions this week, and they try to say it real nice, but essentially what they get to is, hey, I need you to make my spouse do this. That's what they want to say. I'm good. And look, I understand it, right? I think most people probably in marriage, you've got one spouse who's a little more numbers, dollars, cents, logic, fact-based, and they probably manage the money a little more, and then you've got somebody else. And look, we need both. It is a blessing to have both, because if everybody was like me, we'd have a lot of money in the bank account, but it would be the most boring existence on the planet. We'd sit at home every night and watch old reruns of Hee Haw. Like, that would be That would be the extent of it, right? So you've got to have both. But I've been thinking about that this week. The question has been, how do I get everybody on board? How do I get everybody on board? For those of you that are the more money conscious, that are more logical like myself, let me just give you one piece of advice. It's a question to ask and see if this might kind of solve some of the tension you have around budgeting. When it comes to the spouse that won't listen, that won't budget, that won't whatever, I have a question. You as the one who leans more into budgeting, who leans more into this, are you partnering with your spouse or are you parenting your spouse? Because that's a big difference. And if you can figure out a way to stop having to parent, to stop acting like you're the parent and stop telling them what they're doing right and wrong, and to invite them into the process and make it a partnership, man, I just think you'll find much more success in your budgeting approach. And I want you to have success because I want this to work. Because I believe God wants this to work. I believe God wants you and your spouse to retake control. I believe God wants to lessen the anxiety you have around these financial conversations. I believe God wants to lessen the tension you have around these, lessen the confusion, lessen the conflict, and increase the peace. And that's why rule number one is so helpful, because you begin this process by working together to give every dollar a job. And that begins with immediate obligations, but that's not where it stops, because you have things other than immediate obligations. And that brings us to rule number two. This is the one I think is a game changer and why I love their approach. Rule number two is to embrace your true expenses. Embrace your true expenses. See, I love this about YDAB, because what they're asking us to do is to think ahead and act now. Here's what I mean. For the vast majority of us, our bills come on a monthly basis. Our obligations come on a monthly basis, and we pay them on a monthly basis. But not everything comes on a monthly basis, does it? We have some bills that come quarterly. We have some bills that come every 6 months. We have some bills that come once a year. For example, some of you may have, I just got that gift in the mail from Horry County, asking me to pay them for the right to drive my car. It's fantastic. I love it. Every year, they're like, hey, you like driving that car? I do. Pay us, please. Okay. Now, what normally happens in your house when that bill comes? Oh, I forgot all about it. Oh, no. Where am I going to find this money? Sorry, kids. No food this week because I got to pay Horry County to drive my car. Or I'm not going to pay it and hope they don't find out. What YNAB says to do is, okay, let's say that bill, you know it's coming. It comes once a year. Let's say it's $240 for you to drive your car for a year, and that's what you have to pay Horry County. Well, rather than waiting and hoping you have $240 in 12 months, they say embrace your true expenses. You know that's coming. You know in 12 months you're going to owe $240. So rather than waiting, let's give $20 of our money a job every month in preparation for that bill. So you put $20 aside every month, $20 aside, so that when next year rolls around and that bill comes in, you're like, man, I got the money. And you can just pay it. And so what YNAB says is, we all have these things in our life. We know about them. Let's start preparing for them now. And they break it down to two categories. Number one, we have the predictable. These are what I was just talking about. These are the quarterly bills, the annual bills, your car insurance, your property taxes, you know, things like that. We're also talking about birthdays. Do you know your child turns a year older the same day every year? Christmas, same day every year. All these things are predictable, and they're coming, and we know we're going to spend money on them. So what YNAB says is, hey, let's just embrace that right now, and let's plan for that right now. We have the predictable, but you also have the unpredictable but inevitable. These are the home repairs. These are the car repairs. These are doctor's visits. These are, depending on your children, ER visits. These are the unpredictable but inevitable expenses that are coming. And YNAB says, hey, just go ahead and set a little aside and prepare for those in advance. Now, the danger of not embracing your real expenses, specifically for not embracing these unpredictable but inevitable expenses, is you create the fallacy of, well, this was just a bad month. This was a bad month because Horry County sent me a bill and this sent me a bill. Next month will be better. But the only way you know next month will be better is if you've prepared for it. So when we don't embrace these true expenses, we just live in this cycle of, well, next month will be better, next month will be better, next month will be better. But if you're like me, every month there's a new one-time bill that shows up. There's a new one-time expense. And so by embracing our true expenses, we can break the cycle. And then we do the same thing we did in rule one. We give our dollars jobs. Hey, dollars, I want you to prepare for this. Hey, dollars, I want you to prepare for this. I want to be ready when this happens. Think of it like this. So Christmas is next month. For most of us, we'll start spending, if you haven't already, this week and next week. And be honest, most of us are wondering, okay, how are we going to do this? Where's it going to come from? Maybe your plan, maybe our plan is to throw it on a credit card and hope we can pay it off by June. No judgment, that's what we do because our money's in control. Now, I want you to imagine 12 months from now, same weekend, rolling into Christmas. And rather than wondering, where's it going to come from? How are we going to do this? What if for the next 12 months you gave a certain dollar amount a job, and that job was Christmas 2020? And this week, a year from now, you roll in, and you're starting thinking about Christmas and starting thinking about presents, and you look, and there is cash, cold hard cash, sitting in a bank account somewhere waiting, saying, spend me on Christmas, please. I'm here. I'm ready. I'm waiting. Doesn't that sound better than what we currently do? That is the power, not only of a budget, but that is the beauty of YNAB's approach. Their software, their system, everything is geared towards this approach. So it makes it intuitive, and you can see in real time exactly where you are. So that's rules one and two. Rule number three, I love. Rule number three, roll with the punches. Rule number three basically acknowledges life. Rule number three says you can plan ahead all you want. You can have the best dreams. Life's going to happen. Things are going to change, and that is okay. Most people will quit budgeting because they get frustrated because they didn't guess correctly. Something comes and you just get frustrated and you stop. So YNAB builds that into their approach. Hey, things are going to change. Things are going to happen. In fact, here's something I want you to hear right now. Changing my budget is not failing. Changing my budget is normal. Changing my priorities happens because life happens. Again, the beauty of YNAB's approach is that they allow, in the app, in real time, seamless transfers of money from one job to another, all while never allowing you to spend dollars you don't have. No forecasting. But sometimes things change. If you're preparing for next Christmas and something comes up this week, you can take that money, reallocate it to this week, and then create a plan to get ready for next Christmas. It's a beautiful approach because it's built in to say, hey, you're not going to guess this right. You're going to have to flow. You're going to have to roll with the punches. You're going to have to move money around, and that's totally okay. Because moving money around still means you're in charge of it. It means you're directing where it goes, and we're still keeping our eye on the bottom line. So when things have to change, when you and your spouse have to change things, just go, okay, they told us this would happen. We're going to roll with the punches, and everything's going to be okay. Last rule. Rule number four is really more of a tool than a rule. Rule number four is age your money. There's actually a little tracker in the YNAB app up at the top, and it tells you the length of time in days between when your money hits your bank account and when you spend it. And naturally, the older, the better. Because what they're trying to get me to do and get you to do and all of us to do is to begin to sort of try to create margin in our spending. And imagine this. Imagine knowing right now that you not only had the money in your bank account to finish out this month, but that you are already halfway towards affording December. And that the check you're going to get at the end of the month is going to finish out December, and then you're going to start saving for January. Imagine having almost a month, if not a month's worth of cash in the bank in preparation for what might come. And some of you are thinking, yes, Trey, and I'd also like a unicorn. See, the beauty of a system, the beauty of tracking it, the beauty of a goal of aging your money, the beauty of all these rules is you can see it right in front of you. And if margin is a goal, if you would like that peace and certainty of not living paycheck to paycheck, you have something to work towards. And as you look through these expenses and look through these obligations, you may find fluff. You may find things that are wasteful. You may find things you don't even want. Some of us are still paying for a gym membership from a state we haven't lived in 3 years. But we just don't know how to quit the gym. And we don't even pay attention to it. So, but as you start to track this, you're going to find free money. You're going to find money that's been wasted. And you can allocate it to other things, or you can allocate it towards margin. You can allocate it towards some breathing room. You can allocate it towards some peace. Again, imagine 12 months from now, as you've retaken control over your finances. Because I did want to go take, it'll take 12 months. We have 2 months free, and I hope you really dive into it and love it, but it'll take you a good 12 months to fully get it all, especially the true expenses, because you're just going to forget about some stuff. You're just going to forget about some one-time bills, some subscriptions you have. You're going to forget. And as they come in, you sort of get ready for the next year. So, but imagine a year from now. Imagine being in control of your finances, knowing where every dollar goes. Imagine you and your spouse not fighting anymore about money. You have calm conversations because you can see it there together. No more of the why did you spend this, why did you do that, what happened here conversations. And imagine, let's say it's not a month, but let's say it's a paycheck. Let's say by this time a year from now, you're one paycheck ahead, which means you've got a paycheck in the bank. It's just sitting there. It's just sitting there for you to use on that trip you want to go on, or it's sitting there to use on a renovation at the house, or it's sitting there for you to do whatever you want to do with it. Just imagine how that would feel. Just imagine how the anxiety level in your life about finances would go down. Imagine how the communication between you and your spouse might get way better. And then imagine you do have an opportunity to be generous. Or imagine you do have an opportunity to be obedient. And you look down, and there it is. The money's there for you to control and to do with it whatever you want. And we believe that God wants that better for you. Which is why for 2 weeks we've talked about a budget. Something that doesn't sound very spiritual at all. I completely understand that. But I want to say it is. Because it's a tool that God has given us to fulfill his purposes on earth. So, why do you need a budget? Well, you know why. It's because a budget allows us to control our money. And it keeps our money from controlling us, which is exactly what God wants for you. How do we do it? We think, and we recommend that you try for the next 60 days, YNAB. They've agreed to give everyone who signs up through Wellspring a free 60-day trial. As I said, we're going to do 8 weeks of coaching. If you have our app on your phone, you can actually go right there and sign up. You can ask all your questions. For those of you who are visual learners, there's also a book component that we've got out in the lobby if you want to read this as well. But look, full disclosure, guys, we just want what's best for you. We just believe with all our hearts that God wants better for our finances than we currently have. You know, we talk about all the time at our church that better is possible. You see it on shirts, you see it on billboards, better is possible. This is how better is possible for your finances. This. To embrace a system that will allow you to retake control of the resources that God has given you. And we did it at this time period on purpose. We launched it right before Christmas on purpose because December is going to be crazy. What a better time to try to start getting a hold of your finances. And then it's January. Everybody starts over in January. Everybody tries to try new things in January. Everybody believes the better is possible in January. So you have the month of December for us to be coaching you and to try to figure it out. Then you have the month of January to continue to be coached and to really say, okay, 2020 is going to be different. 2020 is going to be better. 2020 will be the year that I retake control over the resources God has given me. And again, I'll say it. When you do, you will find you have extra. You will find you have more. And what you do with that money is completely up to you. I just want you to be equipped and prepared to use that money to do the good that God has planned for you. Let me pray. God, we just love you so much. We thank you for your son. We thank you for his power. We thank you for his hope. We thank you for his healing. And God, we thank you for his practicality. We thank you that he cares about our personal finances. We thank you that he cares about a budget. We thank you that he wants us to be equipped and trained and prepared to use the resources he gives us to do good things, that he wants us to be in control of them. Father, I pray today that you would open our eyes to this tool. And Father, maybe just give it a chance. 2 months being coached by our church in community, 2 months to try to radically transform our lives, to transform our families, and to be better equipped to do what you want us to do. We love you. We thank you for this truth, and we ask you to give us right now the courage to take a step. It's in your son's name we pray.